Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep into something a little different. Yeah. We're taking a look at your analysis of Homestuck. You really went all out.
Sounds intense.
Oh, it is. We've got notes and essays and even research links. So luckily, I've got expert speaker here to help us break it all down.
Well, it's quite a collection. I'm really intrigued by your idea of shifting the Homestuck timeline back to 1999.
Right. It's a pretty big change. You pointed out how John's obsession with, like, 80s movies and the kids using, what was it, dying IRC. And even that whole, like, millennium energy would just fit better.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also makes me wonder, like, what speaks to you about 1999? What makes it feel right for Homestuck? I mean, for you.
It's a really interesting question. Setting can really change the whole feel of a story. But before we go too far down that road, maybe we should talk about another thing you brought up. The huge amount of symbolism in Homestuck.
You weren't kidding about that.
Yeah.
You even called out some specific examples like the Harlequins, the number 8, and the lotus flower. I mean, can a story have too much symbolism?
Mm.
Like, does it lose its meaning when it's everywhere?
It's a valid point. I mean, when symbolism is everywhere, it can be less about making meaningful connections and more about just spotting references, like a puzzle where the pieces don't quite fit.
Right, right. Now, you also went deep into a very specific type of symbolism, alchemy. You definitely did your research explaining the four classical elements and what was that? Paracelsus's Tria Prima.
Yeah.
But how do you see those concepts actually playing out in Homestuck?
Well, what's interesting is your idea of using bubbles as a central alchemical image. You connect this to Skaia and how it could represent these attempts to create perfect worlds, like little bubbles of continuity in the face of existential threats.
Well, that's a cool interpretation. It takes these, like, abstract alchemical ideas and makes them visual, makes them, like, tangible. It really fits the whole idea of alchemy as transformation, which is all over Homestuck.
Exactly. And speaking of transformation, you brought in some Jungian psychology, too. You're really into those concepts, synchronicity and enantiodromia, the whole interplay of opposites thing and the archetypes like the shadow, anima, and animus.
Right.
You even suggested that the creator maybe relied more on, like, a casual understanding of Jung than a deep dive.
It's like you're psychoanalyzing the characters.
Yeah.
You even specifically connect these ideas to Dave.
Mm-hmm.
For those who might not know, can you give us a quick, like, ELI-5 on enantiodromia and how it relates to him?
Sure. Enantiodromia is basically the idea that every extreme has its opposite, like a pendulum swinging back and forth.
Okay.
You see it in Dave, who goes from being ironically detached to, like, really vulnerable. It's like he's always fighting these opposite forces inside himself.
I get it, yeah. It makes you think about how those internal struggles drive his actions throughout Homestuck. Now, you also brought up another layer of possible mini-biblical parallels, and you had some thoughts about how those are handled in the comic.
You specifically mentioned the kids' entry items and Dave's possible connection to Christ as examples.
Mm-hmm.
You argue that these references, while interesting, can sometimes feel a little heavy-handed or even contradictory.
It's definitely something fans debate about. Some see these references as adding depth, while others might see them as, like, unnecessary or even distracting. It's really interesting how people interpret these kinds of things so differently. Speaking of different interpretations, your take on time travel in Homestuck is really something. It seems like it both fascinates and frustrates you.
Yeah, I've spent a good amount of time trying to break down the different types of time travel in the comic, character-based, item-based, cyclical.
Okay.
I even suggested using something called a linked-less data structure to make it more consistent.
Now, I'm no programmer, but I think I get the idea.
Yeah.
You're basically proposing a way to track items through time so that every action has a clear consequence and to prevent, you know, those frustrating paradoxes that pop up sometimes.
Exactly.
Like creating a more solid, logical foundation for time travel within the story.
Right.
And speaking of foundations, you pointed out a what if that I find really intriguing. The Homestuck beta.
Ah, yes.
You see it as a missed opportunity, a potential source of deeper lore and alternate possibilities that wasn't fully explored in the main story.
It represents a path not taken, a world where things could have gone very differently.
It really speaks to that desire for more, for exploring every corner of the Homestuck universe. So what is it about the beta that really makes you curious?
I think it's that mystery of the unknown. The beta is like a window into a parallel universe where some things happened differently and that led to different outcomes. It's like a chance to explore those what ifs and imagine how those changes would have rippled through the whole story.
Okay, I have to ask.
Yeah.
If you were given the chance to integrate the beta into the main Homestuck narrative, how would you do it? What kind of story would you tell?
That's a great question. It would be a challenge, for sure. You'd want to be respectful of the original story while also exploring these alternate possibilities. Maybe the Beta could be presented as a kind of echo of the main timeline, a world where certain key decisions led down a different path.
I love that. It's like a ripple effect, right? Where even small changes can have huge consequences down the line. It'd be a chance to compare the two timelines and see how different choices shape the characters and the world around them.
Exactly. It would add another layer to the themes of fate, free will, and the nature of reality themes that are already so important in Homestuck. But let's maybe change gears for a bit and talk about something a little more grounded character dynamics. You've made some really insightful observations about how these characters interact and influence each other in the game.
You've gone way beyond just summarizing their relationships. You're analyzing how those connections actually shape their actions and move the story forward. Mm-hmm. For example, you talked about John's influence on both Dave and Jade. How do you see those dynamics playing out?
Well, you pointed out that John, with his optimism and adventurous nature, seems to inspire Dave to be more proactive. John's lighthearted approach might help Dave break free from his ironic detachment and engage more with the world.
It's almost like John's a catalyst for Dave's personal growth, encouraging him to step outside his comfort zone. And how does John's influence show up with Jade?
With Jade, it's a little different. She's already very impulsive and action-oriented, so John's influence might be more about providing a grounding presence. His stability could help balance out her more chaotic tendencies.
It's interesting how one character can have such different effects on the people around them. It shows just how complex their relationships are and all the little ways they interact. Now, you also highlighted Rose's role as this information hub, someone who helps everyone navigate the game. What makes her so important to the group?
Rose is the intellectual powerhouse of the group. She's always analyzing, connecting the dots, and figuring things out. Her insights are crucial for helping the others understand the big picture and make smart decisions. And this actually ties in really well with what you said about her relationship with Dave.
Ah, yes. You mentioned how they both have this thirst for knowledge, but they approach it in totally different ways. What do you mean by that?
Well, Dave, with his ironic detachment and love of absurdist humor, often hides his intellectual curiosity. He might not always show it, but he's always taking in information and trying to make sense of the world. Rose, on the other hand, is much more direct and analytical in her pursuit of knowledge. She's not afraid to ask questions, dig deep, and challenge what she's told.
It's almost like they're two sides of the same coin, representing different ways of engaging with knowledge and ideas. But even with their different approaches, they seem to complement each other pretty well.
Absolutely. Their differences create a dynamic that sparks interesting conversations and pushes them both to think more deeply. They challenge each other's perspectives and help each other grow intellectually. And then there's Jade, who you described as a bit of a wild card.
Right. You mentioned how her actions can be unpredictable and leading to chaos.
Yeah.
But also that she has this unique connection to the game world that can lead to unexpected breakthroughs. How do you see her fitting into the group?
Jade's fascinating because she embodies both the potential for chaos and the possibility of finding unexpected solutions. Her intuition and connection to the game world give her a different perspective that can shake things up and lead the group in new directions.
It's like she's the wild card that can either win or lose the game. And her relationship with Rose in particular seems to highlight that tension between chaos and order.
Exactly. Rose's tendency to overthink and analyze can sometimes clash with Jade's more intuitive and impulsive approach. But in the end, they balance each other out. Rose provides a framework for understanding the game, while Jade injects a dose of unpredictability that keeps things interesting.
It's like they're two sides of the same coin, representing different ways of approaching the game's challenges. And even with their differences, they have a strong bond and ultimately support each other's growth. These character dynamics are really well observed. It makes me wonder how these relationships would change if we moved the timeline to 1999.
That's a great point. It would be interesting to see how the cultural context of the late 90s might influence their interactions, communication styles, and maybe even the nature of their relationships. But I think that's a discussion for our next segment.
You're right. We're running out of time for this part. We've covered so much already, but there's still more to unpack. We'll be back soon to delve deeper into your analysis and explore how this 1999 shift might impact the entire Homestuck world. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Homestuck and your incredible analysis.
Oh, yeah. We've covered a lot, but there's still so much to explore.
Yeah, definitely.
The brain is already buzzing. It's amazing how much thought you've put into this.
Yeah.
You know, examining Homestuck from every angle. One thing that really struck me is how you're not afraid to, like, challenge the creator's choices.
Yeah.
You point out potential inconsistencies. You offer alternative interpretations. It's like you're actively engaging with the story, not just passively consuming it.
Well, it's clear you care deeply about Homestuck. You know, you want to see it reach its full potential. And that passion really comes through in your analysis. Take, for example, time travel.
Yeah.
You've clearly spent a lot of time thinking about how the different types of time travel in Homestuck could be used more effectively.
You even got into, like, the really technical details, suggesting data structures like linked lists to manage the characters' inventories as they move through time. I admit, that went a little over my head.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your dedication to finding, like, a more consistent and logical approach to time travel in the story.
It's all about creating a system where actions have clear consequences, avoiding those messy paradoxes that can pop up in time travel stories sometimes. It's about finding a balance between, you know, the fantastical elements of time travel and the need for a coherent narrative.
Exactly. It's like you're saying, okay, time travel's cool, but let's at least try to make it make sense within the story, right?
Yeah.
And this brings us back to the Homestuck beta. You see it as this missed opportunity. A chance to explore alternate possibilities and, like, deeper lore that was left on the table.
The beta is like a window into a parallel universe where certain events unfolded differently. It's a chance to explore those what-ifs and imagine how those changes might have affected the whole story.
Okay, I have to ask.
Yeah.
If you were given the chance to, like, integrate the beta into the main Homestuck narrative,
yeah,
how would you do it? What kind of story would you tell?
That's a fantastic question. It would be a challenge for sure. You'd want to respect the original story while also exploring these alternate possibilities. Maybe the beta could be presented as like an echo of the main timeline, a world where certain key decisions led to a different path.
I love that idea. It's like a ripple effect, right? Where even small changes can have huge consequences down the line. It would be so cool to see how different choices shape the characters and the world around them.
Exactly. It would add another layer to the themes of fate, free will, and the nature of reality themes that are already so central to Homestuck. But maybe let's shift gears a bit and talk about something a little more grounded, you know, character dynamics. You've offered some really insightful observations about how these characters interact and influence each other in the game.
You've gone way beyond just, like, summarizing their relationships. You're analyzing how those connections actually shape their choices and drive the story forward. For example, you talked about John's influence on both Dave and Jade. How do you see those dynamics actually playing out?
Well, you pointed out that John, with his, you know, optimism and adventurous nature, seems to inspire Dave to be more proactive. John's lighthearted approach might help Dave break free from his ironic detachment and engage more with the world around him.
It's almost like John's a catalyst for Dave's personal growth.
Yeah.
You know, encouraging him to, like, step outside of his comfort zone and embrace those new challenges. And how does John's influence show up with Jade?
With Jade, it's a bit different. She's already very impulsive and action-oriented, so John's influence might be more about providing a grounding presence. His stability could help balance out her more chaotic tendencies.
It's interesting how one character can have such different effects on the people around them. It speaks to, like, the complexity of their relationships and the nuanced way they interact. Now, you also highlighted Rose's role as this information hub, someone who helps everyone navigate the game. What makes her so crucial to the group dynamic?
Rose is the intellectual powerhouse of the group. She's always analyzing, connecting the dots, and piecing together information. Her insights are crucial for helping the others understand the big picture and make informed decisions. And this actually ties in really well with what you said about her relationship with Dave.
Ah, yes. You mentioned how they both have this thirst for knowledge and understanding, but they approach it in very different ways. What did you mean by that?
Well, Dave, with his ironic detachment and love of absurdist humor, often masks his intellectual curiosity. He might not always show it, but he's constantly absorbing information and trying to make sense of the world around him. Rose, on the other hand, is much more direct and analytical in her pursuit of knowledge. She's not afraid to ask questions, dig deep, and challenge assumptions.
It's almost like they're two sides of the same coin, right? Representing different ways of engaging with knowledge and ideas. But even with their contrasting approaches, they seem to complement each other pretty well.
Absolutely. Their differences create this dynamic tension that sparks interesting conversations and pushes them both to think more deeply. They challenge each other's perspectives and help each other grow intellectually. And then there's Jade, who you described as a bit of a wild card.
Right. You mentioned how her actions can be unpredictable, often leading to chaos, but also that she has this unique connection to the game world that can lead to unexpected breakthroughs.
Yeah.
How do you see her fitting into the group dynamic?
Jade's fascinating because she embodies both the potential for chaos and the possibility of finding unexpected solutions. Mm-hmm. Her intuition and connection to the game world give her a different perspective that can shake things up and lead the group in new directions.
Like, she's the wild card that can either, you know, make or break the game. And her relationship with Rose in particular seems to highlight that tension between chaos and order.
Exactly. Rose's tendency to overthink and analyze can sometimes clash with Jade's more intuitive and impulsive approach, but ultimately they balance each other out. Rose provides a framework for understanding the game's complexities, while Jade injects a dose of unpredictability that keeps things interesting.
It's like they're two sides of the same coin, representing different ways of, you know, approaching the challenges of the game. And despite their differences, they share this deep bond and ultimately support each other's growth. These character dynamics are incredibly well observed. It makes me wonder how these relationships would be affected by shifting the timeline to 1999.
That's a great point. It would be fascinating to explore how the cultural context of the late 90s might influence their interactions, communication styles, and maybe even the nature of their relationships. But I think that's a discussion for our next segment.
You're right. We're running out of time for this part. We've covered so much ground already, but there's still more to unpack. We'll be back soon to delve deeper into your analysis and explore how this 1999 shift might impact the entire Homestuck world. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's amazing how much we've covered exploring your Homestuck analysis. You know, we've talked symbolism, time travel, character relationships. You've really dug deep into this story. But in this final part, I want to focus on something you said that's really stuck with me. That idea that Homestuck never fully reconciles its ambition for a creation myth with the mechanics of a video game.
That's a really sharp observation. Homestuck is full of mythology and symbolism. It's got this grand narrative of creation and destruction, but it's also like bound by the rules and limitations of its video game framework.
Yeah.
And sometimes those two things clash.
Right. Like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
You specifically mentioned how this clash happens with time travel. You're fascinated by the concept, but also frustrated by the inconsistencies and paradoxes it creates. You even suggested some pretty radical solutions, like restricting time travel to specific types and enforcing stricter rules about how it's used.
It's like you're saying, okay, we can have time travel, but let's at least make it make sense within the story. Mm-hmm. You're not just complaining about the problems. You're actually trying to solve them. It's really impressive.
Yeah. It's like you're thinking like a game designer.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to find that sweet spot between creative freedom and internal consistency. And this brings us to another point you raised about the creator's process. The idea that their approach to symbolism and mythology might be more intuitive than rigorously thought out.
Right.
Yeah.
You even question whether the creator like fully grasped the depth of the concepts they were using, especially with Jungian psychology and alchemy. It's a bold statement, but it highlights the challenge of working with, you know, complex ideas in a creative context.
It's like you're peeking behind the curtain, trying to understand the creator's thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes even creators, you know, they might not have all the answers figured out from the start. It's a journey of discovery for everyone.
Exactly. And I think that's part of what makes Homestuck so captivating. It's a story that embraces experimentation, you know, that isn't afraid to push boundaries and invite the audience to participate in figuring out the meaning.
It's like a giant collaborative art project where the creator gives you the materials and the audience gets to, like, shape and interpret them in their own way.
Right.
It gives the story a life beyond the page, a life that continues to evolve through fan discussions and interpretations.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to that initial question. What if Homestuck were set in 1999? It's more than just changing the dates. It's about reimagining the whole world of Homestuck through a different cultural lens.
Right.
How do you think that shift would affect the story?
Well, it's fascinating to consider. On the one hand, it would really lean into that nostalgia, making John's 80s movie obsession and the kids' tech sappiness,
yeah,
you know, even more authentic to the era. but it will also require like careful consideration of how those changes might ripple through the narrative. Mm. How would character interactions and plot points, even the overall tone of the story, be affected? It's a huge undertaking, but your analysis shows that you're definitely up for the challenge.
You've demonstrated a really impressive depth of understanding and a genuine passion for, you know, exploring all the possibilities of the Homestuck universe. Who knows? Maybe this deep dive will inspire you to create your own version of the story. One where the timeline shifts to 1999 and everything falls into place in a totally new way.
That would be amazing. We'd love to see what you come up with. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this this journey through the intricate world of Homestuck. It's been amazing to, you know, to explore your insightful analysis and delve into these complex ideas. Keep questioning, keep creating, and keep the conversation going.